reading for this morning comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. You can find that in your Bibles on page 1263. However, I will be reading from the NIV 2011 edition that you can follow along, I believe, on the screen. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangled. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Last summer, Joanne and I went to Newfoundland for our vacation. Our daughter and her family live in St. John's, so we went to spend time with them. We happened to be there at the time of the running of the Tele 10. I don't know if you've heard about the Tele 10, but apparently it's the oldest foot race in North America. They've been doing it, well, now, since the time of the Vikings. I don't know about that, but the newspaper in St. John's is the Telegraph, and long, long ago, the Telegraph said we're going to have a 10-mile race, not 10 kilometers, 10 miles, and it's been run every year since almost forever. They go from the city of Mount Pearl, and then they run all the way into St. John's and end close to downtown. Now, our daughter, Rebecca, she was in church here a couple of weeks ago, so some of you might have met her. She has never shown great enthusiasm for athletic endeavors, but for some reason, she decided that she was going to run the Tele 10 with next to no training, with really no preparation. She, and having no experience in running, she decided to run the Tele 10, and she's a stubborn creature, and there's no talking her out of anything, so she did. And we happened to be there, arrived just a few days before the Tele 10 took place. I admired her cheek. Anyway, I asked her, I said, so what have you done to prepare? And she said, well, really nothing. And I said, well, what are you going to wear? And she said, oh, T-shirt, pair of shorts, and my regular shoes that I wear every day. I said, can I please see your shoes? I picked them up, and they were like bricks. They were so heavy. I thought, oh, you poor girl, like, you're not going to make it, you know, with shoes like this. So Joanne and I went with her to a sporting goods store, and we bought her a pair of real running shoes. These things were so light that if you drop them, they kind of float like a feather onto the ground. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but they were so light, it was unbelievable. And she wore them. She actually ran the whole 10 miles. I could not believe it. And did very well. I was super proud of her. Good for her. And she says, I don't know if she was going to do it this year. Maybe because she was in Ontario, she might have missed it this year. But anyway, if you want to run well, you at minimum need to have the right stuff. The Bible uses this kind of imagery all over the place. And that's why for this series of 2017, where we're talking about marathons and running and seeing the imagery in the Bible, there is a wealth of material that the Lord has given to us to reflect on, because it's such a strong image in the Word of God. as Christians, we are part of a race, that the race is to complete the task that God has given, and it's a challenge. It's daunting. It's not for the faint of heart. Don't expect it to be easy, because it's not. And if we are going to run this race well, if we are going to do it as well as we possibly can, we've got to be smart about it, right? You don't become a Christian and say, okay, well, now I'm going to do this Christian thing, and I'm not going to prepare, and I'm not going to think, and I'm not going to train. I'm just going to go do it. Well, the Lord is such that he is faithful, that he will not let you fall from his hand, but you're not going to do super well at this thing called living the Christian life. We have to identify those things that trip us up, the things that are slowing us down, the things that are making it harder for us, and overcome them, correct them, so that we can be the kind of runners in this Christian race that God has called us to be. Our text, as I studied it, teaches us that really there are two big categories of things that we need to take care of if we're going to run the race well. And the first thing, and this is what you'd expect any preacher to say, oh yeah, so stereotypical, listen to what he's saying, it's about sin. We have to identify the sin in our life and deal with it. Sin, I thought, what's a picture that we get from this that helps us to get an understanding of it? How's this? Sin is like a real slinky dress. You know those kind of dresses, you go to a fancy ball and you see these Hollywood A-listers, and they got these dresses on, and they're really tight, and they kind of walk like this, because you can't do this in those things, right? You got to take these little mincing steps. It's supposed to look so sexy somehow. But if you're going on a run, if you said, well, my task is not to walk down the catwalk and look so beautiful, but my purpose is to actually run, well, I can't be doing it in this stupid dress. Makes sense. Or think of sin as leg irons. You watch TV, you see these cop shows, and there's the really bad dude, and they have to move him from one part of the penitentiary to another, and they put these leg irons, these chains that put their ankles together, so that they can only take a step this long, because this bad guy decides to make a run for it, how far is he going to go if he can only do this? It constrains them. It limits them. It keeps them under control. And that's what sin does. It limits you. It constrains you. It allows the devil to control you so that you don't run, so you don't go where God wants you to go, so you don't do what God wants you to do. If we allow the devil to wrap us up in a slinky dress, or we allow the devil to tie us up with leg irons so that we are thus constrained, if we allow the devil to install idols in our lives so that we genuflect in front of the golden calves of our day, if because of that we take our eyes off the Lord and our allegiance falls away, then the devil wins. If we let anger or bitterness or greed or jealousy, or lust, or spiritual indifference take hold of us, then the vines that the devil has planted will wrap themselves around us and squeeze us and stop us. And we will fail in the race to holiness and obedience. In verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it says that we should throw off this sin that entangles us. So if it's the slinky dress, or it's the leg irons, or it's the vines that have been growing around you, or whatever image that really resonates inside your head, throw them off. Just say, I am going to say no to this. I am not going to allow this to define me. I am not going to allow that to stop me from doing the will of God. And sin is a choice. Don't say the devil made me do it. Because it's a choice for you to fall into that sin, to let that attitude fill your life, that way of being define you. You can say no to that. Because the Spirit of God has been given to the world to give you the power by grace to be obedient to the Lord. But there's something else that verse 1 says. It says, throw off the sin that entangles you. But it also says we should throw off all those things that hinder us. Some of the things that hinder us are not sins. They are not bad or evil in and of themselves. This is not a bad thing. Why can't I do it? It's not a bad thing. If that thing is hindering you from being the person that you're supposed to be, running the race that God has put you on, accomplishing the things that build the kingdom, then you should avoid them. They are weights that keep you from running the race. And as I look in my own life and I consider the lives of people that as pastor I've been able to connect with and intersect with, there are all kinds of things that have become hindrances to us being the runners that we're called to do. For some people, it's work. Work becomes everything. Oh, I can't engage in any kind of ministry. I can't love my neighbor and show compassion for anyone because I am so busy at work. Work is my world. Is work evil? Of course not. Is there anything wrong with your business or your trade or your task? Of course not. But if it becomes such that you cannot do the things that are required to run the race God set you on, then you've got to look at that and say, hey, I've got to make a change. Sometimes it's studies. Students say, oh, the pressure to get good grades, to get the good job I want, to get into the school I want to go to is so intense that I can't be involved in church in any way. I can't go to young people's. I can't go to catechism. I can't spend time with youth group or Christian friends or do these things that show the kindness that God calls because it's all about getting those grades. I think, wow, if that has become such a thing, then you got to think about it. It's hindering you. Same thing can be said for hobbies or possessions and toys or relationships. So I've heard people say, well, I can't really be involved in the church because my new love interest doesn't care about that. And if I want him or her in my life, I've got to like set this aside. Oh, man, listen to yourself. We have to be focused on what the Lord wants of us. And sometimes it means hard choices. If whatever this is in your life is not helping you to be the person you should be, is not helping you run the race that the Lord wants you to run, then make a change. Don't let it derail your whole life and your whole relationship with God. You have got a race to run, and you will be very much blessed if you run it unencumbered. But there's another thing in our text that's really important that I want to tell you about that will help us to run this race well. Imagine something with me. Imagine that we said, we are all going to go for a run. We are all going to leave this church building and we're going to run down Highway 5 to the Canadian Reformed Church. We're going to meet with our friends there for a little while. Say, okay, so what do? You go out the parking lot, turn onto Kearns, you turn right, you go down Highway 5, but about half a kilometer or something, and then you turn left and there you are. Easy peasy. Now imagine if instead you said, okay, we have to go to the Canadian Reformed Church. We're going to go up Kearns and we're going to turn left on Dundas. And we're going to run to Peter's Corners. Then we're going to turn right and we're going to run up to Safari Road. And then we're going to turn right on Safari Road and we're going to go to Highway 6. And we're going to turn left on Highway 6 up to Carlisle Road. We're going to turn right on Carlisle Road and go to Cedar Springs. Then we're going to turn down and go down Cedar Springs to Dundas, turn right, and the church is on your right. Say, what are you doing? Say, oh, we're running to the Canadian Reformed Church on Dundas. Well, you are in a most curious route. Now, some of us are really fit. I bet you that there are some people here who could actually run that long route to the Canadian Reformed Church. Not too many of us, but there might be some. I think all of us could, in one way or another, make it down Dundas to the Canadian Reformed Church. Some of us would run and we'd be there in like 5 minutes. Some of us would stroll and we'd be there in an hour. Some of us would be with our canes and our walkers and it might take us half the day. But, right, Caroline? We could do it. We could do it. It's just over there. It would be a real challenge, but I think all of us could. Well, we have to be smart. And we have to live and worship and serve in the way that allows us to accomplish the best and the most for the kingdom. But a lot of us live and serve like we are taking the long way around. People say to me sometimes, I just don't get a sense of fulfillment from my spiritual life. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels in faith. And then you try to say, well, tell me about your spiritual life. Tell me about what you're doing, how you're preparing, and where you're going. Find out that really what they're doing is they're going to Peter's Corners and up to Safari Road and across and then up to Carlisle and all the way back down. What the Lord wants, what the Lord has made clear and relatively straightforward for us, we say, well, we're going to go a different way. Oh, we want the same things. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm all about the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, I want Jesus' name lifted high, all that good stuff. But to get there and to do that, we go all over the place, rather than the simple and straight and true way that he has laid out for us. He says, the best way to the Canadian Reformed Church is straight down Dundas. Says the best way to having the peace that passes all understanding is to go to me and walk with me. Don't disobey my instructions and try to find your own route that leads you here, there, and everywhere, but not along the road that I've given. Because Jesus, my burden is easy. right? The load is light. But so often, we make it harder for ourselves. We need to trust the Lord and follow His path and let Him be our leader. And again, what's tricky about this is, hey, well, is there anything wrong with going to Peter's Corners and up to Safari Road and down to Carlisle and all that stuff? Nothing wrong with those roads. Except it's not the road that He has called us to travel. We need to have Jesus right in front of us and follow Him. It says that He is the trailblazer. He is the pioneer. He's the leader that we are to follow. He is our great and only hope. He is the Lord. And the race we're on is not always going to be like freshly laid asphalt that we can just ride our bikes on or run on. Sometimes the path does take us through meandering routes, and sometimes it does take us through marshes and deserts. But if we are following Jesus, then we will come to the destination of His desiring. And when we run with Him, we will not grow weary and we will not lose heart. For victory comes, the crown comes to those who are obedient, who free themselves from sin's burdens and follow the path. And the glory will come, not to us. The glory will go to our Savior, whom we worship and in whose embrace we live and breathe. Thanks be to God. Amen.